He alone is worthy. If you believe he's worthy, lift your hands and say, Jesus is worthy.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team. Wow. Wonderful. What a great sense of God's presence is here. Wow. And as we were worshiping, I couldn't help but feel like maybe there's somebody in the room that you're saying, well, I don't know if Christmas feels so real to me. Something's missing. But I'm believing that as a result of our time together today, that everything that feels like it's missing is going to pop right into place in your life. The reason I say that is not because of me. The reason I say it is because he alone is worthy, and he is Christ the Lord. He's alive, and he's real. And so I'm glad we could be together. I'm glad we can go into the scripture and continue the series that we've been. Our teaching series is called Wonder, and if you need a teaching outline, please grab one. Take those scriptures, and let's get into the Word of God in just a minute. I want to welcome everybody that's joining us online. You know, hundreds of people join us every weekend online. It's wonderful to be able to reach out not only to the Bay Area with this message, and then also through our four other campuses that are meeting today, but also through our online campus, reaching hundreds and hundreds of people. Amen. So we wish you a Merry Christmas. God bless you. Let me ask a question. Have you ever had a moment of wonder? We just got back from Israel a few weeks ago, and this is my fifth time to go. And there's something about getting out on the Sea of Galilee, and I know that it's coming. Like, I've been there before, right? You get out on the boat, and I say to myself, okay, this is coming. I've been here before. It's probably going to get old. But that sense of wonder, the wow. When was the last time you felt some wow in your life? Some wow in your marriage? Some wow in your work life? Or what about your spiritual life? What about the spiritual side of your life? Is there a wow? It's funny, you know, how over time, things that begin with a wow can slowly become not so wow. A marriage, a job, a new iPhone. You know, you get a new car. How many have had the pleasure of buying a brand new car? But then after 6 months or so, it's just, you know, not quite the same thing that causes your heart to race. Why is that? I want to talk today a little bit about that area, only from a spiritual standpoint, and I want us today to look at how we could recapture a sense of wonder in our lives if it's gone. How would we do that? How would you recapture a sense of wonder in your marriage, your relationship with God, just the joy of living, just maybe your career, whatever's going on? Could you recapture a sense of wonder? Well, Christmas is the perfect time to recapture a sense of wonder in your life. Christmas is a time of wonder, a season of wonder. Take a look at a few of my wonder verses from the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 1, talks about when Christ was born, that wonder fell on the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. How many would like a sense of wonder just to fall on your life right now? It could happen. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story continues. You know the famous scene of that. When the angels showed up to the shepherds, it says when the angels and the great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, come, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And then years after Christ was born, the wonder spread throughout the world, and the whole known world was coming into the beauty of the gospel. And an aged apostle who had a spiritual son by the name of Timothy, Paul said to his spiritual son these words in 2 Timothy chapter 2, don't ever forget the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ was a man born into King David's family, that's the Christmas story, and that he was God, as shown by the fact that he rose again from the dead. There's something about the gospel that if we're not careful, we can lose the wonder of the story of Jesus. We can lose the wonder of the Christmas story, the wonder that Jesus Christ came into the world, was born fully God, and yet born into a human body. He grew. He ministered. He taught the world how to love. We remember his teachings to this day, 2,000 years later, the great teachings of Jesus Christ, but then died on a cross and rose from the dead, proving that he had wonderful power. And more importantly, what does this have to do with us? More importantly, that he has the power to offer us eternal life. If he didn't rise from the dead, he couldn't make many promises to us. But in that wonderful fact that he not only died, but rose from the dead, he is able to promise us a wonderful life in heaven. And that Jesus has come, not just to tell the Christmas story, not just so that we could have a holiday once a year. Jesus came to bring us into a wonderful new life. I loved watching these children up here. Wasn't that amazing to see them? I saw several of them. I thought, that little girl, that little boy, he's really worshiping. I mean, really, really worshiping Jesus, not just singing the words. I saw, and I think about, I have to be so proud. You know, this is over 40 years that Kathy and I have been a part of our church. We've met a lot of children in our church during that time. A lot of little boys and girls have grown up hearing the stories of Jesus and learning about heaven. A lot of little songs have been sung in their classes, and a lot of little great Christmas performances over all those years in their lives, and now some of them, doctors, lawyers, accomplished preachers, pastors, leaders in the church, strong women, strong men living for God. It makes you happy that you're involved in the local church. And I agree with Pastor Jordan that we should be very grateful for Pastor Jeff and Kathy and the whole team that takes care of the kids and does all this. But I think about these kids and the great future that they have and the days that are ahead, and I wonder if they'll ever lose that sense of wonder. Because children have it. What is it about adults that we lose wonder? We grow cynical. We get skeptical. Is it our pain? Is it our disappointment with how life has gone? How is it that we end up frozen? Frozen in fear. Frozen in doubt and unbelief. When we all began wide-eyed, believing, willing to imagine like a child. And I think about the words of Jesus and how he commended children for their ability to receive truth. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 18, the first three verses, because we're going to focus for a moment here on children and the qualities that are so important for all of us to have. It says that at that time, the disciples came to ask Jesus, "Who is considered to be greatest in heaven's kingdom realm?" Jesus called a little one to his side and said, "Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking." Now watch this. Jesus never asked for a subtle change, ever. He said, "I want you to radically, dramatically change the way you are thinking." And he said, "I want you to become," what? "Teachable." Circle that word. We're going to come back to it in just a few minutes. "Unless you become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in." What is he saying? He's saying there's a quality of heart that children have that he wants all of us to have. He wants us to live in wonder. He wants us to live with a teachability, an openness, a childlike quality that is in us that enables us to actually access everything that God has for us in heaven. The important distinction being that if our hearts do not change, if we cling to a cynical, unteachable, mean, skeptical, resistant attitude that adults often have, that we will not be able to access the real change that God has for us in the kingdom of God. What he's saying is, it's always about the heart, And I want you, he says, I want your heart to be just like a child, and I don't want you to lose your sense of wonder. And as I say that, I realize in my own life, that I'm preaching to myself just as well as I am preaching to all of us, that in a culture like ours, in a world like ours, with pressures like ours, and responsibilities and duties like ours, and news headlines like ours, it's so easy to become jaded. It's so easy to become cynical, to be critical, to be skeptical, to be angry. It's so easy to be unforgiving. You know, I don't have to try to be unforgiving. It's very easy. I don't have to try to be angry. It's super easy to be skeptical and angry, isn't it? It takes a little more effort to live like a child, to say, you know, God, I'm going to protect my heart. I'm going to keep my innocence. I want to be like a child, because Jesus is saying, this is how I access the very power of the kingdom of God. How does the wonder of childhood, what happens? How does the wonder of childhood turn into the fear and skepticism of adulthood? Is it our pain? Is it our disappointment? And why do we sometimes feel ourselves frozen like a deer in the headlights? And how can we move from frozen? How can we thaw out and come back to a place of childhood? If a person wanted to recapture a sense of wonder in their life, how would they do it? This morning, I want to offer three simple thoughts. Maybe for you, there'll be new thoughts. Maybe there are things you've thought of before. But I really believe if we receive these three new thoughts, that we can recapture a sense of wonder, not just this Christmas, but as we go into the new year and for the rest of our lives. Would you like to look at that together? Recapturing lost wonder. Number one, first big idea. I think we should be open to new discoveries. I think that's what makes children so amazing, so incredible, like these kids that were up here today. Proverbs 18 says, the spiritually hungry are always ready to learn more. Can I stop right there and ask you, are you hungry? Are you and I always ready to learn more? Or do we come to any given situation, I got this. I know what he's going to say. I've been here before. I read that a long time ago. I've been around for a long, long time. I don't. Or are you open? Are you hungry? Do you look at each new day? Do you look at each new person that you meet? Do you look at each new message that you hear as an opportunity to make a discovery? The spiritually hungry are always ready to learn more, for their hearts are eager to discover new truths. That sounds like a child to me. Children are so eager to learn. I love it. Unfortunately, as adults, as I've been saying, we get so focused. I don't know if it's the demands of life, the responsibilities of adulting. That's a new word now. Adulting. The responsibilities of adulting. We get so focused on the things that the marks that we have to hit and the pressures that we have to deal with, that we sort of take our eyes off of the wonderful things. Like I said last Sunday, we forget the donut and focus on the hole. And we miss really the wonderful things. Because here's the thing. There really are wonderful things going on all around you. If your eyes are open. If your focus is right. There really are great things. For example, it's easy to lose the wonder in your marriage. Okay, if you've been married for any period of time, you could begin to focus on maybe your partner's annoying habits and, you know, noises and smells and habits and, you know, things that come up with time, right? And you can start to focus on that, and suddenly you've lost the wonder in your marriage. Now, the person hasn't changed, have they? What has changed? What has changed is your focus. What has changed is you've stopped looking at the donut and you've started looking at the hole. And so part of that is, you know, it's bad habits that we pick up because we have to make things work and we have to get things right. And after all, our opinions harden down. And we, as the older we get, we know exactly how things should be. And the only problem is the world and your wife and your children and your boss never line up. And the church never quite line up with that hardening sense in you of exactly how things should be. And so your growth stops, that process of change in you stops because you've lost your childlike sense of discovery, the joy of discovering something new. Be like a child, be curious and be eager to learn. People don't wonder about things they already know. You wonder about things that are new. You wonder about things that you never knew. Things that you never stop to consider. That's the nature of wonder. Wonder is about what we do not know. Wonder is about what we do not understand. So wonder requires that we begin to see even familiar things in a new way. Take a fresh look at your spouse. Take a fresh look at your child. Take a fresh look at your job, your supervisor, your church, whatever it is that's in your environment that's boring you, annoying you, and of which you are becoming critical. Take a fresh look at that and begin to appreciate again who that person really is. There's something wrong with everything. I understand that. There's nothing perfect. So your spouse, your job, your neighborhood, your boss, all of those things, there's something wrong. But is that what you're going to focus on? Instead, look at what you could discover about that spouse. What could you discover about your workplace, your chosen field of study? Get the wonder back into your life and start growing again by pursuing the new, pursuing the untapped in that. There's always so much more that you can experience. For example, we could talk about our spiritual lives. Let's talk about our spiritual lives. Every Christian should, let me give you a should right now, okay? I'm not big on shoulds, but don't you think every Christian should read their Bible? That was underwhelming. Oh my goodness. I have lots of work to do. Shouldn't every Christian read their Bible? Sure, okay. All right, so thank you. So thank you for that unprompted enthusiasm. I appreciate it. No, I mean, and we all know that, you know, I don't think there's any of us that says, I read my Bible enough, right? But it's a good thing. We should do it, hopefully on a daily basis, spend some time in God's Word. But if you lose the wonder of the Bible, you're not reading anymore. You don't, well, I've read that before. I don't get anything from the Old Testament. I don't get anything from the epistles. What's Ezekiel about anyway? You know, so we lose our wonder. Instead, what about the joy of discovering? What if we picked up our Bibles and said, maybe I'm going to discover something new today? What if I'm going to learn something more about who God is and what he requires, what he likes, what he loves? And I'm going to learn more about him. It's all in this attitude about discovery. Paul the Apostle, and the same thing could happen when it comes to prayer. Well, we all feel, I should pray. Well, it's time to pray. Let's all say a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, now I lay me down to sleep. Boring, boring, boring. Or if you could see prayer as an opportunity to discover new things about God. You know, freshen up your prayer life. Freshen up your devotional life. Let me challenge you in the new year. It's coming. You're going to make maybe some resolutions. Why don't you make a resolution to read through the Bible in 2019. You could do it in 15 to 16 minutes a day. Be consistent. Get an online Bible reading. I challenge you. Say, what's the prize if I do? We used to give away iPads and things like that. I don't want to tempt you with an iPad. It's the joy of discovery. Your prayer life, your Bible reading life, be open to new discoveries. Look what Paul the Apostle said about his spiritual life. This is where I want to be. I'm not here. This is where I want to be. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Again, the Passion Translation. I continually long. This is what Paul said. I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus. I want to know that more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I tell you, if that was our attitude, we'd never grow bored with God. How many want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection? Paul is saying, I long to know him. I want my heart to be filled with spiritual wonder. I promise you, heaven is not going to be a boring place. I promise you, every single second, we're going to be discovering new things about God, new things for all eternity. We're going to be discovering the new things about God that we never understood before. The beauty of heaven is in the discoveries that we'll be making. There'll be no boredom there. So begin to be open to new discoveries. The second part of this, let's move to point number two. If you wanted to recapture lost wonder, I think you should resist becoming unteachable. The reason I say that is because when Jesus talked about entering into the kingdom of God as a little child, he specifically used a word. He said, don't become unteachable. He said, change that about yourself radically and completely. Now, could I offer a question that would challenge you? Are you teachable? Are you a person that goes into every relationship, every opportunity, open to what another person could bring into your life? Or are you somebody that's already been there, already done that? You don't have anything to hear from anybody else. Look, I've been saved a long time. There's nothing you can tell me. I got this all. You know, the more you are like that, the more you and I are like that, the more bored, the more broken, the more cynical, the more angry we become. I wish I could say that every Christian I ever met was just a delightful, pleasant, joyful. Why is it that church people sometimes are some of the nastiest people? What would cause a person who's been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, who reads the Bible, who goes to church, what could possibly make that person bored, angry, nasty, and cynical? What would that be about? I think much of it would be an unteachability that creeps into our lives. The problem with experience is great, but if you believe that you've had all the experience you need and you know everything that there is to know, then you've stopped growing. And the more you can sense that anger and that bitterness in your own heart and that skepticism and that cynicism, the more you know that you're challenged in being an unteachable person. Proverbs 17 says, one word of correction breaks open a teachable heart. In other words, if a person offers you correction, hey, don't do it this way, do it this way, then a teachable heart says, yeah, let's go. But a fool can be corrected. I love this translation. A fool can be corrected 100 times and still not know what hit him. To be teachable means that we're willing to consider new thoughts and new ideas, that we're willing to take advice, not just give it. I can remember when I was 16 years old, I had a 1966 powder blue Buick LeSabre, got about 8 miles to the gallon. Her name was La Bamba. She was a sweet ride. That was my first car, and there was some carburetor problems. Now, this was the days before fuel injection when cars actually had, you know, the old school carburetor with the floats, and the fuel would go in there and the gas was fed that way. And there was carburation problems, and I was not a mechanic. I still am not a mechanic. But there's something about a 16-year-old that thinks they can do anything. And my dad said to me, he said, you got a problem with that carburetor. I think you're going to have that rebuilt. Take it down. It might be $200, something like that. To me, $200, there was no way I was going to pay $200 to have my carburetor rebuilt when I could go down to the Kragen Auto Store or whatever it was and buy a carburetor rebuild kit and do it myself. So I mentioned that to my dad. He said, I think you're going to get in over your head. I think that's probably more than you can handle. Carburetors are very delicate. I don't think that because you're going to get all the way into that and then you're still going to have to pay the money. You're going to waste a lot of time, and I think it's better if you don't do that. But there's something about a 16-year-old, maybe you didn't have this problem. But that just felt like bad advice to me, because I knew better. And so I went down and got the carburetor rebuild kit and paid for it. I think it was $35, but what was that compared to $200? And I had the time, opened up the trunk, and started to dismantle. You know, dismantling things is so easy. It was going smooth. It was very smooth, the disassembly part. And then all the parts were out on the garage floor, and even cleaning the parts was good. But then came the real part of adding the new parts back in, removing the right, and then reassembling it. Not only could I not understand the words, I couldn't understand the pictures. I couldn't comprehend like the 3D drawings of what I was supposed to do. I was totally, totally lost, and I wasted days trying to work on that, and guess what I had to do? I still had to pay for carburetor, only this time because the car was no longer running because it didn't have a carburetor. I had to pay to have it towed to the shop. So I'm out $35 for the carb rebuild kit. I'm out whatever it was, $75 for the tow. And then, what is wrong with me that I cannot listen to wise advice? My problem is, our problem is, we find ourselves unteachable. Sometimes the problem is not over there. The problem is right here. Can I have an amen? There's a great saying. You might want to write this down. We don't see things as they are. We see them as we are. So when you perceive the world to be mean, rotten, and ugly, when you are skeptical and you see people as bad and angry and actually, the problem may not be so much with them. Your child, your spouse. How about the eyes that you're looking through? How about the way you're perceiving? Are you teachable or unteachable? When Jesus came, there were two kinds of people in the world, those that listened to him and those that got mad at him. Now here's Jesus. He comes with the words of life, the law of love. And people become offended with him, angry that he thinks as he thinks, angry that he teaches what he teaches. One mark, if you want to check yourself, you want to check yourself and say, well, am I unteachable or not? Here would be a simple test. Do you get mad at the way people think? Because if you're offended, hurt, and angry by the thoughts or teachings of another person, you might be unteachable. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept everything that everybody says. It's very important that you not accept every voice in your life. You got to look to the right voices, starting with the voice of God. But think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who, here comes Jesus, perfect in all of his ways, the author of life, the definition of love, and he starts teaching how to love, and they're getting mad, angry, and offended. This is not the quality of teachability that he's looking for. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15 tells us why Jesus came and what his message was. Christ came so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders. Everyone say wonders. All the wonders that God has promised them. How many want the wonders that God has promised you? That's why Jesus came. But you're going to have to bend down to walk through that gate. You're going to have to humble yourself and become teachable and learn. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I will give you rest. Don't be unteachable. Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of sins. So to recapture the wonder in your life, stay open. Stay open to ideas larger than your own. So if we want to recapture the lost wonder in our life, we would stay open to new discoveries. We would resist becoming unteachable. And there's one more piece. There's one more thought. This is the third one. Keep looking up. Everybody do me a favor. Look up. Just look up. Yeah. What happens is, in life, we start looking down. And when you look down at what's right in front of you, instead of looking up at what God is placing before you, you lose the wonder. This Christmas, let me challenge you, keep your chin up, keep your eyes up. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look so much at the flaws of the people around you. Look a little higher. Lift your vision a little higher. You'll find the joy. You'll find the peace flooding back into your heart. We're in this season of celebrating the birth of Jesus. I'm going to recommend that we are opening our hearts now to a wonder that the wise men experienced. Think about the Christmas story. Was there any wonder in them? Check it out, Matthew chapter 2. And so they left. And on their way to Bethlehem, it says in the gospel, suddenly the same star that they had seen in the east reappeared. Amazed, they watched. And as it went ahead of them and stopped directly over the place where the child, that is Jesus, was. And when they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When was the last time that you allowed unrestrained joy to take hold of you? Or have you been so busy adulting that you've lost the giggle, that you've lost the smile? I'm going to encourage you to let your heart go a little bit further in joy. Let the wonder of his love, let the wonder of the Christmas story, the wonder of who Jesus is, just his presence, release unrestrained joy. And it says, when they came into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, now it moves from laughter and joy, it moves to overcome. They were overcome. When was the last time a wave of emotion, a wave of God's presence, a sense of his nearness overcame you? And you wished you could sing the song, but you couldn't because you were speechless, you were breathless. Oh, that wonder would fill your worship life again. Oh, that when you sing a song about Jesus, about what he's done for us, that you and I would be filled with fresh wonder, maybe even overcome. It says, falling to the ground at his feet, they worshiped him. May we have times where we fall to the ground before the presence of the Lord. Why wouldn't we? May we be overcome when he forgives our sins, when we sing that song, 100 billion failures disappear, and I can't get the words out. Because I'm overcome. Because you're looking at a guy with at least 100 billion failures. And I realize that in Christ, 100 billion failures disappear. I can't conceive of that. But it's so real. There may be times in these next few days where you just need to get on your knees. There may be times where you just turn your television off after everybody's gone to bed and you just go face down and have some carpet time. And just say, God, I'm not worthy. Lord, thank you for your blessings. And what will happen is the wonder will come back into your life. Instead of focusing on all the problems and the needs and the issues and the disagreements, suddenly your eyes are back on Jesus. Look up. I agree with Charlie Chaplin. He said, it's hard to find a rainbow when you're looking down. Tell your neighbor, look up. Keep looking up. And if you've lost the wonder, maybe it's time to open up to new discoveries. Maybe it's time to long again for the wonders of Jesus, to make the discoveries of who he is and the wonders of his love, to believe and think like a child, to be teachable again, to say, you know, there's room in my life for more of God. for more of his kingdom, recapturing the wonder of his life. If you've lost it, let today be a day where you recapture it. The worship team is coming up. I'd like to end the service a little bit differently. I'd like us to take a few minutes just to worship the Lord with this beautiful song. I'm going to come back in a moment, but Pastor Nicole, the worship team is coming. And let's let this song be our prayer, a sincere prayer. Feel free to close your eyes. Feel free to take this moment in. And if there's something frozen in you, let Almighty God thaw it out right now. The hardest, coldest thought in your life will melt like that in his presence. Amen. And if you're ashamed of your sins and your shortcomings, let his presence love that right out of you. Let's regain the wonder of his love.
May we never lose our wonder. Help us, Lord, restore us. May we never lose our wonder. Sing it with us. Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at
everybody. Jesus spoke about a radical change. You say, well, people don't change. But actually they do. He wouldn't ask us to change if we couldn't change. He actually gives us his grace and power to change. The change that he spoke about would be that we would become more like a child and less cynical, resistant, unteachable, unbelieving. That would be a miracle for us, but I believe it could happen. We can become so jaded with hurt and pain and disappointment that we lose the wonder. But Jesus can heal the hurt. And if there's pain in your life today, I want to speak to it. I want to say to you that one touch from Jesus can heal you through and through. can release you from all the pain and the hurt, the abandonment, the fear, the abuse. He can bring healing just that fast. And just like that, you and I can step into healing. We can lose the wonder because we're bound, we're addicted, controlled. We got chains on our life and substances and things that are, even relationships that are controlling us. And I want to speak to that, because those chains can break just like that in the presence of the Lord. You can find yourself so free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Suddenly you're free to worship, free to pray, free to grow, free to become like Christ. That is the change that can happen. And if you're struggling today and you feel like, man, I don't know God, I don't have God, I don't have that power in my life, I don't have Christ, you can meet him. You don't have to join a church. You can't get this from a church. You could only get this from Jesus Christ. And that's why he came. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to know if you're here today and you have never opened your heart to him. Or maybe somehow in the course of life, you did know him, you did serve him, but somehow you got away from him. Somehow it's slipped and you've lost the wonder of knowing him. That you'd like that fresh relationship, a real relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for you. And just like that, everything can change. I believe you'll leave this building feeling differently, seeing differently, believing differently. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I would never embarrass you. But if you're here and you'd like me to pray for you, that God will touch you and help you today, you'd like to open your heart to him, just lift your hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wherever you are, just lift your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I need Jesus. Yeah, I'm looking. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I just ask for every frozen heart. I ask, Lord, for everyone who's locked up in cynicism and doubt and fear and unbelief, tormented. Lord, would you free us right now? Free us, Lord. Deliver us. And let the wonder of your love, Lord, come back. Not just for Christmas, but for every day after that, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, we want to receive your love and your power. I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In just a moment, we're going to close the service. You can see some of my friends are up here. I'd like to get maybe a few more elders up here in case somebody here is, you need to check in with somebody, you need healing prayer. They're going to hang around for a few minutes after the service just to connect, because your need is important to us. It's important. I don't know if I'm going to see you. We're going to have some great services next Sunday, 9:30 and 11:15. Some of you are traveling. If I don't get to see you, Merry Christmas to you. But don't forget, we're going to be here on Christmas Eve. Have you ever been to a candlelight Christmas Eve service? It's beautiful. It'll be about a 45-minute service. We call it a miracle service because it'd be a miracle if we get done in 45 minutes. No, that's going to happen. We'll be very timely. It's going to be beautiful. Bring the kids. It'll be a very special part of your Christmas Eve, Christmas celebration. Let's be together as a family and keep your eyes open for people that might be alone, people that might not have family. Keep your eyes open for those kinds of people and show them the love of Christ, would you? And include them as you can. All right, we're going to put a prayer up on the screen. We're going to close with this prayer. You guys ready to pray and talk to God? All right, here we go. You know your part. Let's do it. Father God, today I am ready to begin opening the doors to new wonder in my life. Even though I have found myself frozen at times, I'm now ready to warm up and thaw out. Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. Give me eyes to see and experience everything you've come to bring me. In Christ's name, amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. We love you very, very much at Gateway. Take a minute. High five somebody, fist bump somebody, hug them if you dare. And if I haven't met you, I'd love to meet you and shake your hand. Merry Christmas.